All right. Shalom, everybody. Welcome to Rashan Messianic Bible Club. And we are ready to go with Bible study this morning. We got our sister Devara here. And she is an awesome woman of God. And I really am. She kind of has been with us for a while, but not always with us. Sometimes she takes off. But thank God to have you here this morning. Devara. And so we're going to get into a making this simple for you. That would have been a good title. You know what I mean? But I'm going to say it. We're making this simple for you so that you understand what Dan Mattson, and I can't say enough great things about Dan Mattson, because he's like, at this point, you know, he's been doing this so long, and excellently doing it. Sometimes, if the rapture don't happen, people throw the baby out with the bathwater, right? But they don't understand all of the knowledge that's within these books that Dan wrote are links and chains to get you to another level of understanding what God is doing. I'm going to pray us in, and then we're going to get started. Okay. And we're going to talk about Heshvan 17th, and we're going to talk about, that's December 13th, is that 40th day marker, Devara, that we were talking about last night. It's the 27th of Kislev, but it's the is December 13th, okay? So I want us to know and understand why that is important to us, because like I said, Heshvan 17th took me by surprise because it was so obvious. And when you get things that are so obvious, it makes you go, okay, what is the problem here? You can say, what is the problem? Or you can say, Lord, please lead me to the answer. Okay? Good morning. All right, Jackie and Charles are here. This is pretty cool. We haven't had a crowd in a long time. Now, huh? Now, did you guys bring your notes back?
No.
Okay. Pastor Ben, let's open these notes up to where they can follow if they need to.
Both lessons are on there.
Devar, you have yours, right? Oh, well, give her one, too. But turn it to the page that has the Samech letter right there, because this is what we're concentrating on today, because we want you to see God's hand move, okay? And you're going to see God's hand move because the Bible has an author. You understand? I think that's the last page of it. You'd have to go forward a little more. It'll have this letter on it. See that O? That's the page you need to be on. That's it. Perfect. Perfect. All right. Now, let's pray in. And I'm going to say the Lord's Prayer in Hebrew. And I'm going to welcome all of the Soldiers for Christ members across the world. And I wish everybody was watching today, because this is a day of great hope and this is a day of great understanding. And you can see the hand of the author of the Bible move to tell you the story of when to expect your rescue, your escape, and also when to expect their judgment, okay? Because it happens at the same day. You know, when the flood happened, there was only 8 that got rescued. The other 8 were saying, hey, this isn't good, right? So the rescue and the judgment comes on the same day, okay? And so let me say the Lord's Prayer and then we'll get started. Praise God. And of course, we said in Hebrew, because this is our Hebrew class, Avanu Shaba Shabaim Yikadeshim Ha, Tavo Melhuteka Yi Atzero Sanacha, Be Aretz Ke Asherne Asa, b'shamayim. Ten lanu hayom lechem hukenu, usilak lanu et ashmetenu. Ke asher solechem anachnu, le asher ashmilanu. V'al tevienu l'dei masa, keim hatzilanu min hara, kilaha hamamlecha, v'hagivora v'hatif eret le'olamei le'olamim. Amen. Be'Hashem Yeshua HaMashiach anachnu tefilim. And let's get started. Praise God.
Amen. You want to do a shout-out?
Yes. How many, who do we have with us this morning, and what, where are they from, Pastor Ben?
Bedford, Texas.
All right.
Harlington, Texas.
Praise God.
Hold on, because I'm, hold on. Apple Valley, California.
Apple Valley. Apple, oh, that Valley. We that better be
like your brother.
Is that that might be my brother? That might be Patricia, but my brother lives in Apple Valley.
Amen. Oh, Patricia, yeah. Also, I got a lot. So
okay.
Apple Valley.
Should I sit down?
No, don't sit down. Let's see. Hold on, Apple Valley. Indiana.
Okay. The Hoosiers are doing good.
Two from London, United Kingdom.
Hallelujah, in London.
London, hold on, because I want to read these first. Harlington, Texas, London. Harlington, Texas, South Carolina, Salt Lake City, Utah.
Yes, hallelujah.
Tyler, Texas.
Hallelujah.
Butler, Pennsylvania.
Hallelujah.
House, Pittsburgh, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Los
hallelujah.
Angeles. Shalom from Germany.
Hallelujah, Germany.
Atlanta. Florida.
Hallelujah.
South Africa.
Yes.
Cincinnati, Ohio, Colorado Springs, New Orleans.
Yes.
LAX, I don't know.
They're at the airport. They're like, I'm watching at the airport.
Gladewater, Texas. Omaha, Nebraska.
Okay.
Battleground, Wisconsin. Tulsa, Oklahoma, Connecticut, Toronto, Houston, Colorado.
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 All right. Buffaloes. Sweden.
Burlington, New Jersey.
Okay.
Oklahoma, East Texas, Louisiana, Colorado Springs, Ohio.
Chicago, wow.
Toronto, Ontario, Salt Lake City, Utah, London again. Hold on.
We should have asked who's not watching. It would have been a shorter list.
San Dimas, California, Thailand, North Carolina, Wendell, Fresh Meadows, New York.
Okay. What about New Jersey? Is New Jersey in
Jersey
there? Hey, Jersey girl.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
And that's it for now.
All right. And to all my people in Nebraska, all the people in Nebraska, the Big Red got a win last week, so that was something to be cheerful for. Something to laugh and have fun about before the rapture. So,
New Orleans,
Big
Louisiana. Here.
All right, New Orleans, Louisiana once. Now, we are going to, because everybody's not a Hebrew student, so I'm going to have to educate everyone. You already are. You've been here long enough. But and I'll say it this way, because to have understanding of the Bible, you really have to understand who the author is, okay? And if you don't know the author, you don't know the author's culture, you don't know the author's language, you don't know how he grew up, but you don't know what the traditions are, but you're trying to understand his story, you're not going to really understand, okay? You're going to understand the surface of it, but there are deeper things underneath because it involves his culture, his traditions, and his language. So when God called me to be a pastor and to open a church, he said, I said, well, I need to go back to ministry. I need to go to ministry school, Lord, and get ready to open this church. And the Lord said, no. Learn Hebrew, and I'll teach you the Bible. So I began learning Hebrew, and I started with the 22 letters, and I would just hang out with anybody or watch anything that was going to teach me a better way to learn the language of Hebrew, because by learning the language, you learn a deeper level of who God is, okay? I was going to mention something. So in learning the language, I was able to understand a lot about God. Like for years, people had told me, you know, there's 66 books in the Bible, but it's because the Catholics took out some of them. And, you know, if you don't understand the Hebrew language, you'll just go, okay, you know. But if you know Hebrew and you say, wait a minute, there's 22 Hebrew letters and there's 66 books. So 22, 22, and 22 is a trinity. And then you start studying the books based on the Hebrew and you realize every book is based on a Hebrew letter. And you see that God's hand was in choosing the 66 books. Because if they're out of place in any way, it messes up the sequence of the letters. And so God writes 22 letters then he starts over with the Aleph again and he writes 22 more books. Then he starts with the Aleph again and he writes 22 more books. And you get to Revelation and you have a complete book based on 22 letters. Okay. So the Catholic Church didn't leave out any books. If there are books to be read and you want to read them, familiarize yourself with the 66 first. Because then when you start reading other stuff, you can go back and base it on the book that God said, this is the base.
Yes.
Okay? Because there's a lot of books that were written. The book of Thomas and the book of Judas says that Jesus was born outside of Bethlehem and he was born under a palm tree and started talking as soon as he came out. And that's the book of Thomas and the book of Judas. And Jesus got married to Mary Magdalene and they had a kid. That's the book of Judas. What I'm saying is you can't just go off reading everything. Okay. If you don't know the 22, you don't start reading. But now there are other books that the Bible has that are like the book of Enoch, which the Bible mentions the book of Enoch. You got to be a bit careful which one you read. Okay. And it mentions the book of Jasher. So you have to read that. And then the Maccabean brothers and the Maccabees and the Apocrypha and the Deuteronomy Chronicles, the whole argument was with canonizing the Bible, which books can actually go into the Bible and which books can't go into the Bible. So the Apocrypha and Deuteronomy Chronicles were pushed out because they were written within the 400-year period. And after Malachi, God said there was no prophets after Malachi. So since there was 400 years without a prophet, then they said we can't use the Apocrypha and Deuteronomy Chronicles because they were written in that 400-year period. Because, you know, after Malachi, they didn't hear from a prophet till they heard from John 400 years later. Just like the Jews didn't hear from a savior for 400 years of slavery. And then they finally heard from the savior. So God is doing the same thing. Like 400 years is going to pass and now I'm going to send you a prophet and a savior. Right. So same thing. I hope you guys understand that. So let me talk about each letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Each letter has a meaning. Okay. These letters are not just like our letters, okay, just A, B. And let me explain you something. God writes words. Spelling words came from witches because they spell the words to do certain things, or they spell the word backwards, okay? So that spells and writing are two different things, okay? So the other languages, you're spelling words. In God, he's writing his words. He's writing because every letter has a meaning, okay? We could go through the 22 meanings, and I'll give you a copy of that so you understand that each letter has a meaning. Like Aleph is the first letter, and it means Aluf, which means champion. It also means ox, which is a burden bearer. So God is a burden bearer. He's the champion, you know. And so all of these things, and it's backwards. It spells the word wonderful. So God is also wonderful. You understand? So all of these things are within the letters. And if you did a study, I'll give you a YouTube guy, a Hebrew guy, who explains the DNA of the Hebrew language and shows you that God used the letters to create the world. And it would just blow your mind. Like, what kind of God do we serve? He's just incredible, okay? So let's talk about one of the letters that is in the Bible, and that is the letter Samech, okay? Out of all of this, I'm going to tie in what Dan Mattson wrote on his website, that there is a 40-day flood that is happening. And for 40 days, the boat is not above the earth until the 40th day. So for the church to expect a removal on the 17th of Heshvan would probably not keeping with scripture, because when the first day of rain and the water burst forth, the boat was still there. A matter of fact, 7 days later, the boat's still here. Not enough water to actually push it up. 25th day, the boat's still sitting there, but it's floating a little bit. But for the mountains, it's not above, right? But as we read and understand the scripture, you're going to see that it came to a certain point where the boat or the ark was fully above every mountain on the earth. And now the boat has finally been lifted above the earth, okay? But it happens at a certain time, because God is the author and everything has to happen on this date or this time, which is the 15th, okay? So let's look at the 15th first, okay? I hope you guys can see, or you can look at your page. The 15th letter of the alphabet is Samech. What does Samech mean? Samech means support. When did this letter get used? When God created Eve. So who's the support for man?
Eve.
Woman, right? So God created Adam a support, and her name is Eve, and now she's going to become the helpmate, okay? Now, the helpmate sins. And the scripture says it was not Adam that sinned. It says it was not Adam that was deceived,
right,
but the woman was deceived, okay? So she brings about this judgment that not only affects her and Adam, the judgment affects who? The whole world. And it's amazing. Now, since this is Samech and she is his support, the numerical value for Samech is 120. Therefore, from that day forth, every judgment is going to happen after the 120th year. So, when God comes up with Genesis chapter 6 and so much evil is among the earth right now, how much time does he give them for Noah to build the ark and for the judgment to come? What does he tell them? They have 120 years and then the flood is going to come, okay? We'll read that in one of the books. But Noah was 480 when God gave him the mandate. And then when he was 600, the waters began to come upon the earth, okay? And so therefore 120 became now judgment. Why? Because of the original sin of Eve that brought a judgment on the world, which is Samech, 120. Now, 120, the judgment of the flood comes, 120 years. Now, Moses sinned by not, he hit the, God said, do not hit the rock this time, speak to the rock, right? Why is he speaking to the rock? Because the first time he struck the rock and the rock gave forth living water. Okay, who's the rock? Jesus. First time Jesus came, they struck him and he died on the cross. But because of that, living water went out to the whole world. Now Jesus is coming again, but he's only going to come if they do what? Request him. They say, you now must say, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Come, Lord Jesus, right? Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, right? So when you say that, he says he's going to come. But the next time he comes, they have to speak it. So he tells Moses, now, this is the second time with the rock thing, but we're going to bring living water. But don't hit it. Speak to it. Moses goes over and pow, hits the rock. And God says, because of disobedience, you are not going to see the promised land. Does he judge Moses right there? No. Why? Because he has a structure of when judgment happens. So Moses turns 120 and he dies. Because it's keeping in accordance with what? The 120th is the year of judgment. From Eve to the flood, now to Moses, is 120 years, okay? Now, they get into another problem. Israel wants a king, okay? They want a king. Oh, we want a king like the rest of the nation. So God says, okay, fine, give them a king. They get Saul, but this was very disheartening to God because he was their king. They get Saul, he rules for 40 years, and he becomes a bad person. Then they get David, and David rules for 40 years. He's not perfect. He has some sin, but God says he's a perfect man because he knew how to repent. Okay? And so he rules for 40 years. Then Solomon comes, and he's pretty good in the beginning, but then he starts messing up again too, right? And he rules for 40. So 40 times 3 is how much? 120 years. And then God dispersed all Israel throughout the whole nations. Throughout all of the nations. So the judgment came at the end of 120 years. Always a pattern, okay? So, as you need to understand this, so now God is going to say, since the 15th letter is the 120th, this is the judgment. The 15th letter means that, look, something is happening on the same day as judgment. What's going to happen as the same day as judgment? Watch me separate these two. Okay? Because we're talking about beginning. Now we're talking about this. So look, if this, when you see this, you're going to see a rescue. When you see the 120th, you're going to see a judgment. But if I go 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4 plus 5 plus 6 plus 7 plus 8 plus 9 all the way to 15. You know how much it is? 120. So it's God that's putting the numbers together. You understand? So here we are. The 15th letter is Semek. It means support. And its value is 120, but it's the 15th letter. So now let's see what God does as he's writing these stories in the Bible. What he does with the number 15, because now we got to remember you have a rescue and you have a judgment. OK, and they're both going to happen on the same day, just like the flood, a rescue and a judgment. OK, if you have your page with you, let's look at that and let's go to the book of 2 Kings chapter 20. Elohim Tov, Kol Hazman, all the time. Just when you think the Lord has left you, you're wrong again. Yep. So we're going to be in 2 Kings, and we're going to be in chapter 20. And I think, let me make sure when I get there, that we are going to start at verse. Okay, let's watch this. Watch this. Okay. Let's see where I'm going. Okay, let's start at the beginning of this, okay? Now, it says, in those days, Hezekiah became ill. He was a king, but he was a good king. And it says, and was at the point of death. The prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, went to him and said, this is what the Lord says. Put your heart in order because you are going to die. You will not recover. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord, Remember me, O Lord, how I have walked before you faithfully and with a whole heart and wholeheartedly devotion, and have done what is good in your eyes. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Before Isaiah left the middle of the court, the word of the Lord came to him, "Go back and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, this is what the Lord, the God of your father David, says. I have heard your prayer and seen your tears, and I will heal you on the third day." Okay? And it says, "You will go up to the temple of the Lord, and I will add 15 years to your life, and I will deliver you and this city from the hands of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for my sake and for the sake of my servant David." So Hezekiah gets a promise from God that he's going to get 15 more years of life. And on the 15th, he's going to go up on the third day to the temple and visit with God. And so this is a great promise. Let me make sure I don't have any more to read here. This guy asked. Yes, he says, Hezekiah, he says, "What will be the sign that the Lord will heal me and that I will go up to the temple of the Lord on the third day?" Okay? So he's going to go up to the temple on the third. God's going to heal him, and he's going to go up to the temple on the third day, and he's getting 15 more years of life. So this is a promise from God that Hezekiah is going to get 15 more years. But when he gets the 15 more years on the third day, he's going to go up to the temple and be with the Lord. So you know what Hezekiah does? He's so happy, he writes 15 psalms. And they're called the Psalms of Ascending Up to be with the Lord in the temple. He writes 15 psalms. And they don't begin until you get to Psalms 120. So when you get to, so you have all these psalms from 1 till you get to Psalms 120, and then it says, this is the psalm of ascent. This is the psalm of ascending up. This is where it happens, okay? So now, it starts in the 120th psalm. Why? Because the 120th is going to be the judgment and it's going to be the rescue. You understand? So you are living in the 120th year. You need to understand that, because in the 1900, whose numerical value is 19? Eve's. Her numerical value for her name is 19. So God starts counting the righteous generation. 1901, 1902, 1903, 1904. How do we know God's counting it? Because when you go to Psalms, he's prophesying everything that's going to happen in that year. You get to Psalms 47, and he says the leaders of the world are going to meet, and they're going to make a decision about the people of Abraham. The UN met in 1947 and made a decision about the people of Abraham. Then Psalms 48 says they're going to return to the land, and they'll be back in the land in Psalms. And Psalms is what? The 19th book of the Bible. Wow. So in the 19th book, in the 48th chapter, you get the rebirth of the nation of Israel. Okay? In Psalm 67, you get the winning of a war to prove to the world that God is God, and they win the Six-Day War. So every psalm is being prophesied. And it starts where? When you get to Psalms 120, it begins with a prophecy, like all of them do. Mm-hmm. And what's the prophecy? Father, rapture us away from lies. Save us, rescue us from lies. Hanzivanu min hara. Take us away from lies, okay? So the prophecy of the big lie was that it will happen in what? In 2020, which is the 120th year. But he doesn't just write one psalm of ascent. He writes 15 psalms of ascent. Because at the end of the 15, what's going to happen? He's going to go up to the temple to be with the Lord on the third day. We're not going to talk about the third day because that would just throw us all off. So there is the 15 years. And at the end of the 15 years is what? The presence of God. You're now at the temple. He writes these 15 songs. And guess what they do every year at Tabernacles? In the temple. They built the temple where it has 15 steps till you get to the Shekinah glory. And then you're in the presence of God. So every year at Tabernacles, which is on the 15th day of Tishri, the priests take the first step and they say the psalm that Hezekiah placed. And they sing the first song. Then on the second day, they sing the second psalm of ascending up. Because what are they doing? They're ascending up to be in the presence of God. And so they sing that song. And then they sing that. And then when they finally get to the 15th song, then they're now in the presence of the Shekinah glory of God. Okay, so that was happening as their tradition every year as they go up to the temple to be in the presence of God. Right. So in Psalms 120, I just want you to look at it because I want to make sure your psalm, because I study it. When I say the psalm of ascent, I'm saying the psalm of me, Allah, which means ascending up, okay?
Shalom from Poland, Pastor.
Hey, Poland. How you doing, my friends?
Switzerland, and Ireland.
Hallelujah. That's my friend in Poland with the twin sisters. Okay, now, Psalms 119 is every Hebrew letter, so that's 22 psalms, 22 letters. But then when you get to Psalms 120, it says a song of ascent, meaning the song of going up. That's one in 20, and there's another 21, and they go all the way to Psalms 134, okay? So those are the 15 psalms of going up. You understand? So you got 15 psalms, because these songs are going to take you up to the presence of God, okay? Now, so 15 becomes a great number. And so God says, like he did with 120, he says, okay, all judgment is going to be in 120. All rescues are going to be 15. So let's watch a rescue. Let's go to the book of John, chapter 11, verse 17 and 18. Now, you can look at it on your book, but I'm going to go on your booklet, but I'm going to go there because in John, chapter 11, glasses, please. There they are. Words. In John chapter 11, in the verse of 17 and 18, it says here, on his arrival, Jesus found Lazarus. Now, Lazarus has died, right? And Jesus hears about it, but he doesn't go see him. He's like, okay, I got it. I'm the resurrection. Jesus says what? I'm the resurrection and I'm the life. He's telling the sister of Lazarus, right? So Jesus gets there 4 days later. Why does he get there 4 days later? Because 4 days, you really did. That's when the body starts to decompose. So, because remember, he said, you will not leave my body in the grave. So 3 days he had to go up because 4 days it starts to decompose. So Jesus rises on the third day. But he leaves Lazarus there for 4 days. Why? So you know he's really dead. Okay? Then he goes and he takes this walk from where he is to Bethany. And it says here, then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave for 4 days already. Now, Bethany was nigh Jerusalem, even 15 furlongs off. So Lazarus didn't get resurrected until Jesus walked. How long?
15
furlongs. Then there was a resurrection.
Oh, my goodness.
You understand?
That's crazy. crazy.
But why did he use word 15? In keeping with the line, this is going to be a rescue in the 15.
Wow.
Okay? So it happens after he walks 15 furlongs, he resurrects Lazarus. Okay. Let's go to the book of Esther, chapter 18 through 22. And you can look at it on your page. You don't have to go through to your book if you have your notes. Now, we understand the role of Esther was to help the king rescue the Jewish people from this mandate that Haman gave to kill all Jews. But Esther becomes this great role in saving them. So they fight the war and they fight against their enemies. And it says, but the Jews that were in Shushan assembled together on the 13th day thereof, and on the 14th day thereof, and on the 15th day of the same, they rested and made it a fasting and gladness. A day of fasting and joy was on the what? 15th.
Wow.
So the rescue happens when? On the 15th. God is going to use 15 as being the time of joy. Okay? So now we have two proofs in the scripture that the 15 is talking about a time of joy and rescue, whereas 120 we see was talking about judgment. But remember, 15 and 120 is really the same Samech letter. It's the 15th letter, but it has a numerical value of 120.
That's crazy.
Okay, now, I told you guys God taught me the Bible. Okay, here we go. Let's go to Acts chapter 27, verse 21. And I really can't read all this, but I want to explain it to you, okay? This is Paul, and he's on this ship, and he's trying to get to Malta. He wants to get to Rome, okay? And so they start off the journey in Crete. And as they're going in the boat, they start from Crete. Now, Crete in the Greek means the flesh, okay? But they're trying to get to Malta, which means land of honey, okay? Do I have to read this? Paul's trip from Crete to Malta, from the flesh to the land of honey. Well, anyway, I'm going to tell you the story because I don't want to read from verse, because I'd have to read verse 21 to 44 and then 28, 1 and 2. Let's read Acts 28, 1 and 2 so we understand what was going on here. Because this was a long journey and a lot of perils in the sea and almost death and everything. So it's taking a long journey. So we finally get to chapter 28 and this journey is over. And it says, once safely on shore, we found out that the island was called Malta. The island showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us all because it was raining and cold. So now the boat, it will say in the scripture, as you lead up to them arriving here, they went 15 furlongs. And then when they arrived at 15, they arrived on the island of Malta. And then once they arrived on the island of Malta, it says when they arrived, the people treated them so kindly. Okay? And Malta is called the land of honey. And the islanders showed us unusual kindness. So he has this hard journey. He finally comes on the 15th day, and he arrives here on Malta, and on the 15th, they get all of this great rescue and joy and great treatment from the people that live on the island. But they had to go 15 before they got it. And I wanted to find the scripture. Let me see if I underlined it. So we know exactly where it is. Well, I'll go back to it. But if you're reading through it, you'll find out it wasn't until they got to the 15th day that they actually got to the land of Malta and were treated very well. Okay? So there we have three 15s. Okay. Now, the Feast of Tabernacles is on what day of Tishri? Can you see that? It's on the 15th of Tishri. What happens on the 15th of Tishri? What feast day is that? That's the time where we gather. Tabernacle means to live amongst you, to tabernacle with you, okay? But that happens on the 15th. Now, we're going to go back to Genesis chapter 7. You're in Genesis chapter 7, and we're going to start at verse 11. And it says, in the 600th year of Noah's life, on the 17th day of the second month, that's the 17th of Heshvan, on that day, all the springs of the great deep burst forth, and the floodgates of heaven were opened. And rain fell on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. You see that? So in my thinking, the flood started right there. And that's when the church of God should be above the earth. But now we're understanding something different. And what's that? The boat can't get off the ground on the first day. Because there's not enough water. All the deep burst forth and this water is coming. But if we read, and I'll try to read later in the book of Jasher, after it had been raining for so long and the people became distressed, it says 700,000 of them went to the boat and said, Noah, the water is getting to be too much. Throw us a line so we can come up. And Noah says, aren't you the same people that said that there was no God? And now you want to make peace? He says, I can't. Because judgment had already begun. But they were still in position, and the boat was still positioned on the earth after they came. We'll read that later. So, the boat is... And so it rains for 40 days and for 40 nights. That's good for you to understand. And it says, and on that very day, Noah and his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, together with his wife, and the wives of his three sons entered the boat. That's eight people. Jesus Christ, seven churches. They had with them every wild animal according to its kind, all livestock according to their kind, and every creature moved along the ground according to its kind, and every bird according to its kind, and everything with wings, pairs of all creatures that have the breath of life in them came to Noah and entered the ark. And it says the animals going in were male and female of every living thing, as God had commanded Noah. Then the Lord shut the door. He shut them in. When? Before or after the 40 days? Ooh, you see what we're saying? Then God shut the door. For the 40 days, the flood kept coming on the earth, and as the water increased, they lifted the ark high above the earth. The water rose and increased greatly on the earth, and the ark floated on the surface of the water, and they rose greatly on the earth. And all the heights of the mountain were under the entire heavens were covered. Wow. I'm burning this book. Let's go to King James. Because you don't take that type of information out of a book unless you're trying to cover up something.
Right.
That's why I don't trust any English translations. Well, you're studying Hebrew. 17 and 18, it says, "And the water prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the water prevail, and mountains and all and the mountains were covered." So it means that the boat went up 15 cubits and then the whole earth was covered in water. But not till it went what? 15 cubits. So that means they weren't above the earth until the water prevailed up 15 cubits high. Even though the flood began when? On the 17th of Heshvan. So now I got to go back and see what happened on Heshvan and what happened after Heshvan, because the island that John the Baptist is writing the book of Revelation on has a 7.0 earthquake while it's raining. So we're seeing the rain begin to fall on the earth. The earth elected a Nephilim to go back into the White House. That's rain.
That's rain.
Even though the water is going, the Noah and the eight are still on the earth in the boat. They're still secure in Christ, but they're still on the earth. Yeah. They're waiting for the boat to rise up 15 cubits, which didn't happen till when? After 40 days. And so it rises up 15 cubits. They're now saved. They're off the earth. They're above the earth. Okay. 17th of Heshvan was November 4th. 40 days later is the third or fourth day of Hanukkah. The center menorah is Yeshua. That would be the fourth day. The third menorah, okay? So on the 13th, because when people say the 13th, you've got to remember the 13th is also the 14th. In Israel. You understand?
Yeah.
Because, I'll explain it to you. Okay, you wake up in the morning, right? And it's the 13th day of November, right? Now, when does Israel start their new day?
At sunset.
So when we see the sun go down, we don't go, oh, it's the next day. But God does. It was evening and there was morning and that was the second day. And Israel still does that. So when it's morning, they say, oh, it's the 13th. But when the sun goes down, they say it's the 14th. So for them, it's the same day. So the 13th, 14th or is really the fourth menorah candle, which is Christ, is 40 days from November 4th is December 13th is 40 days of flood. And now we have to see, is this the time where the boat will be up 15 cubits above the water and begin to take, and the church is taken up above the earth, okay? The whole Bible, as I was explaining it to you last night, is about one most important thing in Scripture. And what's the most important thing in Scripture? The marriage of God's Son. He's having a wedding, okay? I don't know if you guys have kids, but when they're going to get married, nothing else matters. We're planning for the wedding. We can buy her the dress. We got to get the place. We got to see what we're going to eat. We got to see who's invited. And so for all the time that you plan that wedding for the household, the wedding consumes the information of the house, okay? Who are you inviting? Who are you inviting? What are we going to eat? What is it? So in heaven, the number one thing that is being planned in heaven is the marriage of the Son.
Yeah.
Here.
Amen.
I'm going to see if we can do this. If God is good with this. because we looked at that. I don't want to re-talk about things that we've already talked about. Generation of the righteous. We talked about Eve being 19. This is an excellent notebook.
Mm-hmm. Shalom. Wow. Copenhagen, Pastor Sandy.
Copenhagen? What is that? Where is that? Okay. Let's be in Genesis chapter, I think it's Genesis chapter 29. If it's not, when I get there, I'll redirect you. No, that's talking about Leah. So that means it comes after, which God is talking to. Oh, it comes after 22. So it should be about 24. Abraham now is, oh yeah. Genesis chapter 24. Now, I'm gonna show you that the wedding is the most important thing. Now watch this. God says to Abraham, you have a son. Yeah. You really love him, don't you? Yes, love my son, right? I want you to sacrifice him. We just named him Isaac. I mean, it's like laughter, fun. We don't sacrifice. No, God says, look, I want you to sacrifice your son. Abraham says, okay. Abraham gets up next day and begins a three-day journey with Isaac with him. They get to Mount Moriah. And Isaac, he says, Isaac, we're on our way to this mountain. I need you to carry the wood, son, and I'll carry the utensils for the sacrifice. Now, I want you to understand, he was not 5 years old. He was a grown man. Isaac was in agreement with the sacrifice because he believed his father that he would be resurrected. You understand? Isaac was not 5 years old. He was doing this in agreement. They get to the mountain, and willingly Isaac lays on the cross, and they arrange the sacrifice because they're going to sacrifice Isaac on the third day, because the journey from where they were to the mountain was 3 days. But on the third day, God said no, and the angel interrupt, and Abraham got his son back when? On the third day. When did God get his son back? On the third day. Now, after that, we say, is the story over? No, the story's not over. Let's continue, because my son, that I'm going to do more things with my son other than resurrecting him on the third day. I got to get him a bride. So we get to chapter 24. And Abraham was now old and well advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. He said to his chief servant in his household, the one in charge of all that he had, who is that guy?
Eleazar.
What does that mean? The helper, the comforter. What is that? The Holy Spirit. So in typology, he's telling the Holy Spirit, I want you to do something for me now. Why? Because Jesus is already resurrected. And when Jesus resurrected, he said, I will not leave you alone. I'm going to send you what? A helper, a comforter. OK, so here is God giving instructions to Eleazar. He says to his chief servant in his household, the one in charge of all he had, put your hand under my thigh. I want you to swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will not get a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I am living, but go to my own country and my own relatives and get a wife for my son Isaac. And the servant asked, what if the woman is unwilling to come back with me to this land? Shall I take your son back to the country you came from? Make sure you do not take my son back there. So the instructions to the Holy Spirit or to Eleazar is what? You find a bride on that earth and you bring her back here.
Yeah.
You understand? So Eleazar leaves Abraham's house. Eleazar leaves Abraham's house, and he goes in search of what? A bride. Yeah. But when he meets her, what does he have to do? He has to convince her to marry somebody she's never seen, which is what you're doing.
Yeah.
Because, some of them, I saw Jesus, but you ain't seen him. Not really in his glory, right?
Amen.
But the Holy Spirit is trying to convince you to marry somebody. So he meets her where? By the well. And he have this big thing that's going on. He meets her by the well. And let's read this portion just so we... Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and left, taking all kinds of good things for his master. And he set out for Aram Naharam and made his way to the town of Nahor. He had the camel kneel down near the well outside the town, and it was toward evening, the time the woman goes out to draw water. So now here comes who? The bride. And what's her name? Rebecca. What does Rebecca mean? Did you guys get hitched?
Yes.
That's what Rebecca means, hitched. It means, and that's where we get the term from, okay? It means that to hitch your horse to lock it to something so it's there when you come back. So you guys got hitched. That's what Rebecca means. It means to get married. So he meets Rebecca and he starts this conversation with her, and this whole conversation is going well. And he says, my master has a son and he wants me to bring a wife back to her. You'd have to read the whole chapter for yourself when you get home. And he says, if you would come back with me and marry him. And she says, I agree. So she goes and asks her parents, and the parents says, do you really want to go with this man to marry this? And he says, he's actually a relative of ours. So if you want to go, you can go. And they said, but we're going to leave the decision up to you. So she has to decide whether she wants to marry him or not. She finally says, okay, I'll do it. So when she agrees, Eleazar takes her, lifts her up, and puts her on the donkey, right? To take her back to go be with the son of Abraham, okay? So now they're on their way back. She's got her hair, a face veil, because she's a bride. And they're on their way back to have a wedding with Isaac, who just got rescued from what? From sacrifice. But he's alive now. So now they finally get here. It says in verse 61, it says, then Rebecca and her maids got ready to mount the camel and went back with the man. So the servant took Rebecca back, took Rebecca and left. Now, Isaac had come from Baal-Hiroi, the well which I see. And it says, for he was living in Negev. Now, listen, Isaac had come from Baal-Hiroi, for he was living in Negev. What does Negev mean? Now he was living in the southern country. That means he wasn't at his father's house when he meets his bride. He went down south to meet her. But he doesn't know he's going to meet her. But he goes down south, and he doesn't understand why. Okay? Now watch this. And it says, now Isaac came near Baal-Hiroi, for he was living in Negev. He went out to the field one evening to meditate, not to meet his bride. And as he looked up, he saw a camel approaching, and Rebecca also looked up and saw Isaac. She got down from the camel and asked the servant, who is this man in the field coming to meet us? He is my master, the servant answered. So she took her veil and covered herself. Then the servant told Isaac all that he had done. And Isaac brought her to the tent of the mother of Sarah, and he married Rebekah and she became his wife, and blah, 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 blah. They lived happily ever after. So.
1 minute, Pastor Sandy.
You got a picture of Christ, his sacrifice, his resurrection, and then you got Eleazar, which means helper or comforter, and he goes and gets a wife for the bride and brings the bride back to the house, but he doesn't bring the bride back to the house. Isaac, you up, and then take you back up to heaven. So the plan goes in line with scriptures. Isaac had to come down south. Why? Who's he representing? Jesus. And Jesus came down on the cloud. He's down south. He comes down to us. He meets us and then he takes us back up. You understand? So the wedding is the most important thing. And since the wedding is the most important thing, now God is trying to show you when this judgment happens. It happens in the 120th year. When does the water begin to flow? On the 17th of Heshvan. How long does the water flow? For 40 days. 40 days after is what? Hanukkah, the fourth day of Hanukkah. And some will say the third day, but I say the fourth day because if it's at midnight, that'll be the fourth day. And that's when you go out and get your bride at midnight, because now you need torches. And now they put them on camels and they take the torches and they're going out. And the bride's supposed to have their lamps lit so when he gets there, he can see them and then bring the bride back to the father's house and the wedding happens. The 17th of Heshvan did not make sense to me. Why didn't the 17th of Heshvan not make sense? Because I thought it was supposed to happen exactly on the 17th, not 40 days after rain, but on the day of the 17th. So why did I believe that it was going to happen? Here it is. I believe and still do that. How old was Noah when the flood began? 600 years old. God had to make sure Sandy knew when the 6,000th year came, because the 6,000th year is representing the 600 years of Noah's life. I had to know that it was the 120th year or the 120th Jubilee. I had to know that so that I know that we're close to the time of leaving. That's why my message has always been prepare the church to leave. I have no other mission for you but to prepare the church to leave. Your mission is not to build a church. Your mission is not to be a mega pastor. Your mission is to prepare Christians to leave and to get their hearts ready to leave. And now we're in the 120th year. This is the year of what? We got to divide this thing. We got to have judgment. And we have to have rescue, and it has to happen in the same year. And you're in the 120th year, and that's the Bible study. And make sure you go over your notes. So there's still hope for what God has said. The year is non-negotiable. You're there. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
We're going to sing the song?
Huh?
The song?
Yeah, we'll sing it.
Ready?
We don't have a theme song yet, but it's question and answer time.
Ready?
It's okay. Pastor Ben gets carried away with it. You know, because he was a Saturday morning kid.
Yes, I was. Amen. So, Pastor Sandy, we now know where Copenhagen is.
Where's Copenhagen?
I'm about to tell you right about now. Okay, Copenhagen is neighbors with Sweden, Germany, and Norway.
Okay.
Love your tea.
Is it in Denmark?
Yes.
Copenhagen, Denmark?
Yes.
It's in Denmark? Wow. See?
Amen. Is that awesome?
That's awesome. He was not kidding. God told Pastor Ben, you guys are going to be a global church. And I said, get out of here. I'm going to name it Soldiers for Christ Community Church. Because I just want to help the community.
And he just added a whole global community.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
So ready for some questions, Pastor?
Yes, we'll have some questions now.
Oh, first of all, Sherry Alexander, our Sherry,
she wants to
know, did you know you had a little dust on your chin?
Oh, this down here? Yeah. I've been had it for a little while, but I don't want it to get thick. I'm not trying to do the Moses thing, but yeah, I'm enjoying it. It's just because I turned 59, I felt like, you know, how long can you hide it? You're 50, almost 60.
Okay, so here's our first question, Pastor. This one is, Pastor okay. Sandy, are you expecting the rapture to happen during Hanukkah? Also, thank you for making the Hebrew class free. Too many pastors charge the people
yes.
of God for something they get for free.
Yes, and I definitely got it for free. Freely you have been given, freely give, right? Yeah. And Paul, what does Paul say? We do not peddle the word of God.
That's right.
So I'm not writing a book and I ain't selling nothing for $19.95. If you have, you need it and I have it, I will get it to you or mail it to you for free. Because we don't do that. But thank you for that. Now, the question was,
do you expect the rapture during Hanukkah?
Yes. I was highly expecting the rapture on the 17th of Hezron. I went to bed expecting to leave because I know that God said one thing. It is impossible for him to lie. So I know there's going to be a wedding. And I know we're going to meet him in the clouds. And I know there are going to be a lot of angels there. And I know all the believers are going to be there. And something else the Lord said, all the people that are waiting for us are going to be there. So he says, look, it doesn't matter if a person passed away before the rapture, because the joy on that same day will be the same for both people, those who are waiting and watch us. Imagine seeing us coming. You're in heaven.
Wow.
You're like, here they come. Oh my God, it's here they come. And we're like, there they are. So the Lord said, the joy is going to be the same for both, but the whole body of Christ will be there. The wedding is on that day.
And also we're going to be congratulating
each other. It says we're going to be congratulating and each other on that day. So high five.
When did we enter the ark? Or did we enter the ark already?
I think we're already in the ark because Jesus Christ is the ark that is on the church.
Yes.
We are in the ark and we better stay in the ark.
Yes.
Okay. You don't go for a swim. And to say, I'm going for a swim, I'll be back. No, we stay in the ark. The water looks pretty. Don't jump off the boat. Stay in the ark because the higher it gets up, the more dangerous it gets. Yeah. But I believe that God was showing us on the 17th of Hezron, when you lost the president, okay, yeah, maybe you haven't lost him yet because he's fighting and God bless him. Okay, but they reelected Joe Biden to be in the office. Do you realize he ran two or three other times? The first time he ran, they had to take him out of the race because he had been implicated in child pedophilia. So he pulled out of the race. Yeah. So, which of course Trump didn't, because I have a testimony from a young lady who was purchased by Trump at a thing where they were buying these girls, and the girl told me he purchased her, took her out of the place and said, where are you from? Where did you live? How did you get caught up in this? And he gave her money to go home and then sent her parents money so that they could take care of her so she never gets caught up in this ever again. Now, see, this is stuff that Nephilim don't do for other human beings. You understand? She would have just been
lunch,
okay? And so when I talk about also the black couple that went to my high school that was working at his casino, and they were losing their house, and he purchased the house and gave them the deed. Nephilim don't do that for humans. You understand? Or the homeless woman that was caught, who snuck into the Trump Tower and was sleeping in one of the empty rooms, and they called the police. Trump went down there and said, let her stay. And she's still living there to this day. Okay, they're not going to put that on CNN.
Right.
Because Trump, first of all, is a nationalist, and Satanists are globalists. Right. They want a one world, and this guy's talking about a nation. Now, that's no reason to trust you taking a new virus that they're bringing.
Right.
That is no, God said, do not take the vaccine. Because now doctors are coming forth and saying the vaccines have recombinant DNA technology in it and has foreign DNA inside of the vaccine, which will eliminate you from having the DNA that God originally gave you that can be resurrected.
Yeah.
That's why it says in Revelation that anyone who takes the mark will not be saved. You cannot take it, and do not take this vaccine. Yes. Yeah. And that's a doctor that showed us that. Okay.
What they can't hear what you're saying.
Oh, okay. About the vaccine that. Well, she said there's a lot of junk in this vaccine, and it ain't good for humans.
Right.
Okay. So. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the other one is.
What's the question?
We look for. Okay. Good question. Should we look for rapture meaning? Look for rapture meaning at the point where the flood ends, a few months after it all starts, after 40 days of rain.
After 40 days of rain.
Okay.
After 40 days of rain. Because the ark didn't reach the height of 15 cubits till after 40 days of rain. So, but I do suspect that it did start on the 17th of Heshvan.
Amen. Okay.
7.0 in Patmos.
That's crazy.
7.0 earthquake in Patmos, where John is writing the book of Revelation, and they have a 7.0 earthquake on Heshvan. Yes. Yeah.
If we are worried about the current vaccine coming out,
I'm not worried.
And messing with our DNA. Could it mean that President Trump is part of the deception?
That's the thing. Now, what did we say? I don't trust Biden. I know he's a Nephilim. Mm-hmm. I don't trust Trump because I don't know you yet.
Right.
So who can I trust? Because I don't know. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. One great thing about growing up in South Central LA, you learn not to trust anybody. Everybody is like, there's a bunch of crooks, you know. So your mom say, don't talk to nobody. Anybody ask you a question, run home.
Yep.
You know, so I learned growing up, don't trust it. And I still keep that. And though I love everything that Trump is doing and everything that I see him doing, I don't know why he's trying to push this vaccine so fast and saying it's going to be ready by the end of the year. Now, if the church gets raptured before the end of the year and before that comes, then of course, because God already knew in advance that the church will be gone before, right? So I don't know if he's doing it because he's talking to appease the globalists, or he's doing it because he really thinks that it's going to be a good idea. But I don't trust anybody developing a vaccine right now. And I don't know if Daryl Gates is out of the loop of doing that.
Amen.
But who's ever doing that vaccine has definitely developed it faster than any vaccine in the history of mankind. And all the doctors that have looked at it says that there's recombinant DNA technology in it.
They probably had it already developed and just waiting on opportunity to bring it out.
Pastor Ben, this is why I wish I was from Ohio, because you guys always one step away ahead of us. See, and that's probably the truth. They probably like, you know, this whole thing's been planned. We have the vaccine ready, but we got to get the people and their fear ready. And then they got to trust the person that's going to give it out. Because most Christians say, oh, and Trump developed the vaccine. Most Christians will go, yay, we can trust the vaccine because Trump gave it to it. The Lord told me at the beginning of this thing, do not take any vaccines. Amen. Your body has a natural immune system already inside of it. It fights disease. All it needs is sun, okay, and rest.
Yep.
And your body will heal itself, okay? Yep. So don't start taking a bunch of, you know, I wouldn't trust anything right now.
Amen. If Isaac was in full agreement, why did he ask, where's the sacrifice?
I'm going to tell you why. Because when Isaac was going to the mountain, he had the wood on his back. He's going to the mountain, okay? And now he asked the question so that Abraham could give him an answer that you were supposed to get. He's asking the question because the book has an author, okay? The author wants you to know something. So now he says to Abraham, now listen to me carefully, because you have a dichotomy there, but the dichotomy was to educate you. Mm-hmm. Abraham, Isaac says, Dad, we have all the utensils for the sacrifice, but where is the lamb? And God and Abraham says to Isaac in Hebrew, Elohim Yiro'alo, God will appear himself as the lamb. He should have said, I already told you this.
Right.
In English, it says God will provide the lamb. Completely wrong translation of the Hebrew. It says Elohim will appear himself as the lamb. That was to educate you. So later, when people tell you that Jesus is not God, you'll say, well, then God is the one who appeared as the lamb and died on the cross, because he already told you that in Genesis. God is going to appear. The Bible has an author. He's not writing because he doesn't know. He's writing it to educate you about who he is. Where's the sacrifice? God will appear himself as the sacrifice, as the sacrificial lamb. God's going to appear. He's going to come. That was the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Because God, just a minute, God told Abraham the gospel in advance. Do you think he kept the gospel away from Abraham? Abraham told Isaac the gospel. God is going to appear as the lamb and resurrect back to life. But he's going to die and then he's going to resurrect. Okay? So don't take it as being ignorance. Take it as being God is trying to educate you on who's coming to die. That's why, because the Bible has an author, not because he didn't know.
Amen.
Or he wasn't strong enough to protect himself.
Right.
I'm sorry. What was your question?
We need to go, but I would like to talk to you when we can. He has kind of a question and a thought
uh-huh.
about the subject.
Okay. You want me to call you guys later? Yeah, want me to call you later, Charles? Okay, good deal.
When Jesus said,
God bless you guys.
The sons of a bride chamber could not fast while he was with them, but they would fast when he left. Why did he then bring up the new old wine skins? What is the correlation?
Are you talking about the new wineskins and the old wineskins?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're talking about a new gospel does not fit in old wineskins. That's basically what it's saying, is that the gospel of Christ, the gospel of grace, does not fit into the wineskins of the law. Because if you try to put new wine in an old wineskin, it'll crack and it'll break. So he's trying to use a natural thing to teach him a spiritual thing, that grace under Christ does not fit into the wineskin of being recognized as being righteous through law. Okay, so he's saying law is over, grace is now entered in.
Yeah.
This is new wine. It doesn't fit into that wineskin.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Do you think Trump's loss was prophesied in Revelation 17:10?
No, I don't think 17 has anything to do with Trump. It has to do with the Vatican.
Oh.
Revelation 17 is all about the destruction of the Vatican.
Pastor Sandy, what about the parallel of the fig tree? 70 years is a generation, 80 years by reason of okay. strength, 2028, 7 years, 2028 okay. minus 7 is 2021.
Well, 2027 is when the year that they told them that they were going back in the land. So you can't say 2027 is the, because he says when you see the leaves come out and it fully bud, so 1947 becomes the year that it was announced. 1948 is the year they went back. So 2027, 2028 are both years according to 1947 and 1948. 80 years later, that is it. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's you have to look at the whole thing.
Amen. Do you think when Jesus went to go pray by himself, do you think he spoke in tongues like we do?
No, he don't have to.
Amen.
he didn't have to speak in tongues. Now, I'm not saying I know for absolutely sure, but remember that tongues is given to us as a language so that we can speak directly to God. Amen. Okay?
Pastor Sandy, after we're gone, will the Holy Spirit still be here for old ones left behind?
I don't know if God's sending him back, but I know one thing. He has to take us back to heaven. That's the whole reason for Eleazar coming. Eleazar came to find the bride and to take the bride back to the Son. The Holy Spirit is here, and when it is over with, he's going to take the bride back to the Son. So I do not suspect that the Holy Spirit, and if the Holy Spirit is here, he's definitely not going to be living inside of people as he does now. He lives inside of us to make sure that we are delivered back to the Father. Okay? So I don't think that the Holy Spirit will be here.
I don't think so. Yeah. 144,000.
Yeah.
Pastor Sandy, will the kids be changed or are they going to stay kids until we return?
I don't know. I wish I was in heaven. I'll tell you, I've had some dreams about children in heaven. So I'm not sure. But I don't know that. But I've had dreams about children in heaven.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they develop there and they become adults as they do here. But I know that I've had dreams about children in heaven.
If all the Nephilim and all the giants died by the flood, when and how did they come back to the earth again?
They did not all die because the scripture says, you have to be quiet now. The scripture says that they were here before the flood and they were here after the flood.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
However they survived that flood, they were able to survive it. And now there were Nephilim on the earth after the flood as well. And there are Nephilim on the earth now.
Amen.
Okay.
What happens to Christians that may take the COVID vaccine before the rapture?
I don't think that'll happen.
Amen.
I don't think that'll happen. I think that's a satanic projection. Like Satan wants Christians to be afraid that is going to happen before Jesus comes.
Mm-hmm.
But according to Thessalonians, he can't do anything until after we're gone. So I'm sticking with the Bible.
Amen.
You ain't gonna be able to do anything with me until we're gone. Once we're gone, then now he has open rein to say, we're demanding that you do this or you do that. And then people can say, no, I'm not doing it. I'd rather die and believe in Jesus. And then they'll go up to heaven and they'll wait under the altar until the 7 years of tribulation is over or whatever way they decide that they're going to kill them. And it seems to be that it'll be by beheading them because they did deliver 30,000 guillotines to one of the concentration camps that they built in 2006 by the Halliburton Company. I know too much.
You know a lot.
Any coincidence, current Pope will be in office exactly 7 years and 9 months on that December 13th date?
I don't know. And let me tell you the truth, I'll be on my honeymoon, so I won't be really caring that much either. I don't know. You guys are asking me stuff like in the tribulation, I'm like, dude, in the tribulation, I don't care what's going on. When me and Drea were on our honeymoon, we were in Puerto Rico, then we took the boat to St. Martin. The last thing we thought about was Long Beach. When Jesus takes me out of here, I don't know. I don't want to know. Don't call me. I'm on my honeymoon. So that's how I look at it. I look at God is taking us out. He's taking us out to save us from evil. And while we're on our honeymoon, we're not going to be asking our bride, you know, or our husband, hey, what's going on back? No, he's like, that ain't none of your business. You with me now, babe.
I know, right? Amen. Last question, Pastor Sandy. Does Pastor Sandy think anything of the lunar and upcoming solar eclipse November 30th, December 13th? Does he feel anything between now and then is also possible?
Yes, to all of that. Now, I don't study that stuff, but I'm very in tune with people that do. And because I think God has given us all different talents. I think God's talent for me is the word of God, but he has shown other things about seeing signs with other people. And I'm aware of that through Dan Mattson, very good minister of the gospel, and other people who follow that. So, yeah, I'm looking for it. I'm looking for an escape because I'm telling you, it's the 120th year. And I'm looking for judgment and rescue to happen at the same time.
Amen. That's it, Pastor.
That's it. All right. We are going to say the prayer out.
Yes.
Okay. I want to thank each and every one of you guys for joining us all around the world for this Bible study. And I want to encourage you to keep your eyes on the Word of God and the promises of Jesus Christ and not on superficial news that is coming from the world. Because the world may tell you next week everybody's getting beheaded for not taking the vaccine. And that is not biblical.
Right.
But if you get yourself all tied up in a knot over things that the world is saying that the Bible doesn't say, there's one minister on YouTube that's telling everybody that we need to be on point preparedness. You got to be prepared for the tribulation. Make sure you get your waters and you dig your holes and I'm not for on point preparedness. My on point preparedness is leaving.
Right.
I'm prepared to leave. I'm sticking with the promises of God. I'm not going to get caught up in what man is trying to tell me.
Amen.
Okay.
Pastor Sandy. Shalom from Russia.
Yes. Hallelujah, Russia. Wow. Hallelujah. Let's say this prayer out. I love you guys. And I just found my glasses so I can do it. Hallelujah. And the Lord said to Aaron and to Moses, when you bless my people, say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Yivarekha Adonai ve'yishmarekha. Yair Adonai panavilecha ve'chunecha. Yi'aseh Adonai panavilecha ve'yasim l'ka shalom. Shalom, everybody. Le'itriot be'yom rishon, which is Sunday. I'll see you on Sunday.
Amen. And shalom from Frankfurt, Germany.
Hallelujah, Frankfurt, Germany. God bless you.